going to put this here. All right. Not because it's the sound, but through today, I want you to think about that. All right. I don't know how you'll get that on the tape. It is a, what do they call this? That's not a cereal bowl. That's a what? Boombox or a? A boombox. I don't know how to say that. And a cereal bowl with a glass. Okay? For the tape. Okay. What's the most important thing about being in a meeting? What's the most important thing? Meeting with God, yep.
You mean in a Christian meeting?
It helps in the other meetings as well. Yes, but about being in a Christian meeting. Pardon? Is what?
Listening.
Yep, listening.
That there are other people there.
And that there are other people there. Yeah, that's okay. I like being in a meeting on my own. I meet myself quite often coming back, as they say. But someone said, God being there. And God's here. God's here this morning. Believe me this morning, God's here. Because God has been raising things. Did I tell you my preach, Steve? You did. Did I tell you, thank you to these two guys who, did you see, say yes. Did you see God? About, yes, okay, about the choruses. Steve, yep. Not about the choruses, but about, you know, you were listening to God, all right? And that's why I said, first thing, you'll wonder why I'm even preaching today. Because God's here. And I'm going to give you a little bit of direction about what God's been saying to me. Through this series, I'm just going to be touching on one particular thing, okay? Do you know what happened 72 years ago this week? I'll move my arms about. Okay, this is the tape. Okay, what happened 72 years ago? D-Day. Monday, the 6th of June. I was doing the maths. Today's the 12th, back to the 5th. Monday, 6th of June, was D-Day. All right. There are certain, in a war, there are certain strategic geographical places that can determine the difference between winning and losing battles and ultimately the war itself. When the Allied forces landed on the five beaches of Normandy, do you know what they were? Omaha. Sword, Juno, Mormons, give you a clue, Utah, thank you, and one other one, gold. Those were the five beaches of Normandy. They stretched, I was reading, 50 miles along the coast of France. And it was vitally important in that whole venture for the Allied forces to identify the bunkers, that's the place where the guys with the machine guns are, and the mortars and all that thing, from which the German army controlled the coast. It was vital for them to know that. Why? Because they had to overthrow, defeat these soldiers in those particular places. And once they did that, then these five beaches would then be open in order to bring hundreds of thousands of other soldiers and pieces of military equipment across the channel into France at these places. And then from that point, they could move forward and take inroads into the rest of German-occupied France. That's why those five beaches were important. I actually Googled D-Day for kids. And I got in there, I copied off 40 vital pieces of information about it. I'm not going to share all 40. Do it yourself. But I forgot what I was going to say. Right. Jericho. It's all right. It'll come. Jericho was like those bunkers. Like the five beaches for the people of Israel as they were going into the promised land. It was such a strategic place that had to be taken by Israel in order for the people of Israel to go in and possess the land. All right. Now, Joshua in chapter 5, we'll read a little bit, and a little bit into chapter 6, and the other places in the Bible as well. Hebrews 10 talks about taking the promised land. It tells us that it was by faith and by God that the walls of Jericho fell down. After the people of Israel had walked around Jericho, how many times? Add it together, what you get? 13. Unlucky for some, okay? It was unlucky for Jericho. Yeah? 13 times they had to go round. We know the story so well, I'm not talking, actually, about those walls coming down like that today. Maybe that'll be in the next message. All right? I want to talk about what led up to it. All right? You see, it wasn't Joshua. His great leadership that brought it about. Wasn't even Israel as a fighting army. It wasn't his courage, Joshua's courage at all. He wasn't that famous. And it wasn't by luck that this this city and subsequent cities fell at or into the hands of Joshua and the Israelite people. Now, today, I just want to say, it's the same today. Strongholds. Jericho was a stronghold. You know where I'm going? That's why I thought, wow, these choruses today, that'll come in a little bit later, but it's the strongholds. It, for Israel, it was a stronghold. All right? You see, God's plan for us, God's great commission for us is for us to take and conquer these strongholds. And I'm going to be looking primarily today at just one set of strongholds. There's strongholds in our lives, all of our lives, and there's also strongholds in this city. There may be strongholds in churches. Did you know that? There could be strongholds in churches, our church maybe. Because what God wants us to conquer these things, these strongholds. And they need to be done in order for us to take our land. And we've talked about what is the promised land for us as individuals and for God. What are they? That's what I'm going to be thinking about today. What could be strongholds in our lives? And that's why God's here. To break strongholds today. All right? That's why God's here. How are we to do it? At the moment, so far, in our messages taken from the book of Joshua, the children of Israel have crossed the River Jordan. We looked at that. All right. When did the waters part? As soon as they stepped into the water. I'm afraid I like, hey, Lord, would you stop the waters before I get in? And would it back up? All right? But God, no, I don't do that. He didn't do it here anyway. All right? He didn't do it here. And so they'd crossed over the River Jordan. They entered into the land of Canaan. That was where what God had promised them. But, and there's a big but, I want you to first notice that they were in the land, but they hadn't possessed it yet. And we might be on the verge of our promised land, and we might have stepped into it. But we, God says, no, I want you to go further than that. I want you to possess that land. And that's not the same. It's very different, possessing the land, to just going in. Because they had to possess it in order to enjoy the promises. Now, Jesus said, I have come. John 10:10. What did he say? I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. How would you describe your Christian life and experience? Is that abundant with a small A or with a capital A at the moment? Because God says, I want you to go in and possess it because I want you to have an abundant life in me. I have come, he said, an abundant life in Jesus. And so we've got to take our Jerichos. And I'm going to outline some of possible personal Christian life Jerichos this morning. All right. The battle for Jericho was a very important one in many ways for Israel. The first way, it was a tactical way. Tactics here, you see. Why? Well, Jericho was just over the border and it stood, as it were, in the gateway to move into the hills and up the hills and so that they could sweep in and take the rest of the promised land. That's why Jericho was so important. And that's why I, you know, the second attempt was so important as well. That city of Ai. All right. The second thing was Jericho was crucial from a morale point of view. Now, why do I say that? This attack on Jericho was a first. Didn't have to fight going across the River Jordan. No currents, no people, no Egyptians like 40 years behind them. This was their first battle. And they had to be ready for it. Why? First venture of faith. First battle. First offensive for Israel. Morale. Why? Because if they fail this time, poor Joshua would have to rally them again. Second time round, if you fall on your face first time, or if you get disillusioned first time, it's very difficult to rally the troops. Very difficult. Thirdly, it was important from a spiritual point of view as well. So we've got three points of view, right? First one was tactics. And he had his eyes open to the tactics. Second was morale. Third was spiritually challenging. You see, they had exercised faith before. How? Crossing the Jordan. But before then, how? Fancy getting up every morning. What are you going to collect? Manna. 40 years. I bet it just became normal. It's just like sunshine for the last 2 weeks. I expect it to be sunny. And then I got a rude awakening. Yesterday, when it was dancing. All right. And so for 40 years, they just expected manna. And they went out and they collected it. And God says, don't collect any on the Sabbath, because I'll give you two lots on Saturday. Collect two lots. Don't do that any other day. Why? Because it go mouldy, horrible. All right. Think of your bread bin. Oh, I forgot a loaf in there. You go in and have a look. Oh, it's green. All right. Bit like manna. Okay. So, spiritually, they've been exercising faith. But I want to tell you, remember, morale? This was the first battle. This was a different kind of faith. Not just for food and water. This was faith for battle. And you know, in our lives, there are different kinds of faith to do different kinds of things. We call it faith, but it's got to be different, hasn't it? Because we have to exercise faith to believe in Jesus right at the very beginning. But we can sometimes struggle with another kind of faith for something else that God wants us to do. And so we've got to somehow get hold of that, embrace that faith from God. Yes, embrace it from God. We don't have to manufacture it. Still a gift. Ask God, I want faith to do this. Okay? Faith to do this. You don't got to work it up. Forget that. I'll give it. You want a faith to take Jericho? I'll give you faith. And that's what God was saying to Joshua and the people. Now, what made Jericho a tough nut to crack? Pardon? The wall. Actually, there weren't just what the word. There wasn't just one wall. I read. Yes, I do read now, babe. I read. It's a double wall. It's a double wall all the way around Jericho. Now, I've got a challenge for you. Archaeological excavations have actually, think they found Jericho, right? And they've worked out how big it was. And I came across, get this, 8 acres. Now, hands up, what's an acre?
It's a measure of.
Yes. Okay. Can you tell me? Because I thought, who's the one who asked, he answers that with a definition. Can you think of something the size of an acre?
About.
No, don't look at Jeff.
No,
I'm sorry.
Looking at the room.
Yeah.
It's probably about as big as half this room, maybe. As big as a garden.
About as big as a garden. Okay. Thank you. Okay, depends how big you are. Anything else? Anyone? Pardon? Yeah, we're getting it. Actually, it's big as a football pitch. 8 acres. All right? 8 acres. So, let me just go over. Yes, there we are. 4 football pitches. Half an acre. Sorry, half a football pitch is an acre. So, big football or football pitch, 2 acres. 4 football pitches. That would be the size of Jericho. And you've got this double wall all the way round. About 20,000 people, they say, lived in Jericho inside those 4 football pitches. All right. And then round the outside, so that's the first thing, actually had a wall. Something else about the wall. I stood here. I'm about 6 foot. I read that the first wall on the outside was 12 foot high. So imagine 12 foot high wall as the perimeter round the 4 football pitches. Took a while to build, didn't it? And then from the inside of the outer wall to the second wall was about 15 feet. And then guess how big the second wall was? Yes. 30 feet high. 30 feet high. And I read from one wall to another, there were these buttresses about at a 45 degree angle to help prop them up and join them together. Yes, Jacob, he's back. Did he get his crisps? They're still there. There he is. Can he have crisps? Super. Right. Great, great. Right, oh, there we are. Twin walls, okay? I'm sure he came out for his crisps. Right, and so you've got this double wall, 12 feet, 30 feet, 45 degree buttresses, all right? So that's a pretty impregnable fortress. And once they go over the first wall, they had to manoeuvre and get up. Oh, these buttresses were really smooth. And so while people, you know, they had no Vibram soles on the sandals then. And so, okay, they had to get up there and there were archers on the top. Hey, I'll get him. Wham. All right, so easy. And so it was an impregnable, have I said that right? Fortress. Yeah, so that's the first thing. But you've got to get in and out cities, haven't you? But they only had a few gates. And these were really strong, reinforced by iron. And though they were the only ways in and out the city. So that's why it also helped towards it being this impregnable fortress. Now, what does it say? It actually says about in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. Does anybody want to read it? Joshua 1 at 6 verse 1. Yeah? Nope. Yeah, I'll read it then. Just one verse to start with. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out, no one came in. You shut those gates, no one can come in and no one can go out until you open those gates again. All right, no tunnels, they found nothing like that. Okay, so that was what the Israelites were facing with Joshua. All right, now it was a formidable stronghold. And they were looking, this is the first battle. And there they have this to contend with. Now, how would you feel? A soldier in the army. Bit overwhelmed, right? Bit overwhelmed. We've got to take this place. It's a fortress. Do you ever feel like that in your Christian life? Something is overwhelming. Strongholds in your life. How do you identify a stronghold? It's not a wall, physically. How do you identify it? I began to think about that. What would help you? Have you ever heard somebody say, I can't do that as a Christian. I can't do that. I can't do this. Why? It's a stronghold. Fear. All right? It's impossible. Stronghold. I can't change. It's impossible. Stronghold. They got the idea. And so when we reflect upon our lives, if we're looking for strongholds, keep that in mind. Is there something I am saying in my Christian life that I'm saying, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'll never be able to do it. What are strongholds? sins are strongholds. Other things are strongholds as well. But sins are strongholds. I say sins, sin and sins. And I'm going to outline a few. Firstly, what will sin do in the Christian life if it's not dealt with? Do you know? Firstly, barrier goes up. That's the first thing. A barrier goes up. If we don't deal with it, you'll wonder why. Maybe, it's not the only reason. Why am I not hearing God? Because the sin barrier's gone up. Why can I not pray? Sin barrier goes up. What kind? Sin bars the way for us to experience a deeper life with God. It stopped us at the very beginning, but God said, I love you to have come into this relationship with me, God says, but, you know, I want you to go on with me. I want you to go further with me. And Jesus takes us by the hand. I'm like this. I don't want to go. We drag. And that can be due to strongholds. So sin separates. And as we mentioned today, sin binds. Like chains. Holds us back. That's what it does. And sin causes a stain on your heart. Why? Because doesn't John say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from what? Unrighteousness on our hearts. So it's a stain. Goes on your heart, on our hearts. And it weakens us. And ultimately, it can defeat us if we allow it to continue. I read this week, I was looking at illustrations about this, and I read, last night it was, I was reading about somebody who bought a kind of a farm, a small farm. And they had to clear the land. Why did they have to clear the land? Because they were told there were lots and lots of rocks on it. And if you were going to clear rocks on the land, which ones would you clear first? The big ones, that's exactly what they said. They cleared the big rocks first. And so they went, right, I'm going to start, that's a big one. It's about that big. I'm going to start on that side. Oh, there's a sort, you know. And then I'll move, get another one. And then what did they do after that? Next size down. And then got rid of all those. Now we'll go for these slightly smaller ones. Now isn't that what we do in our lives as Christians with sin? I get rid of the big ones first. Now do we really know what the big ones are? And there's the little ones, there's a lot more of these little ones. And there will be. And so we start collecting, and it goes smaller and smaller and smaller until you've got this wonderful land ready to plant up. And it's very easy to give up clearing the land of our hearts. Did you know there might be areas in your life and my life that we have never subdued? You've not put them yet under the control of Jesus. Thought about it, but you've not put it under his controls. And it's there, standing defiant. Move me if you dare. If you have a go at. God wants us to overcome them. What's the first thing we've got to do about strongholds is, what? Identify them. That's why. What is it? I can't do that. Can't do this. It's impossible. And so on. So the first one is identify them. All right? What might be? Well, firstly, I've got nine. And some of them are multi in terms of what's included. One could be a violent temper. It flares up at the least provocation, expresses itself in anger and abusive language. Secondly, deceit, lies. You know how we can actually tell lies because we don't want the truth to get out because we're in an embarrassing situation. Or we can actually tell a lie to make us look good. Say things about ourselves that aren't true. I'm a good preacher. That is exaggeration. Okay? It's a lie. A white lie? No, there's no such thing as black and white lies. They're lies. Okay? Thirdly, it could be immorality. It could be sexual immorality. It could be pornography. It could be adultery. That's it. That's a stronghold. Thirdly, fourthly, thank you. Thanks, Lee. Fourthly, it could be, and it looks like selfishness, lack of love. It stands in the way. That's sin. Then, now here's a multi one. Envy, jealousy, strife, unforgiveness, bitterness, lack of Christian holiness. That's a multi one. That could be a stronghold. What about lack of discipline in your Christian life? I'm too weak. I'm a bit of a wimp spiritually. Can be a stronghold. Why? Because we don't have to conjure it up. We ask God for the strength. How about pursuing things in your Christian life, pleasures, activities, money, that get in the way of God? They compete in your life where God wants to be. What about being afraid of people? Are you afraid of people? Because it can paralyze you, can prevent you from shining for God, for speaking about your faith with the unsaved. Then there's the human will. Boy, digging your heels in. I'm not moving on. I'm okay here. There's a spirit of disobedience that can resist us stepping out for God. I think, what a list. I mean, you thought, hey, Andy, you, there's loads. And there is. All right. The children of Israel had to first identify and conquer the stronghold of Jericho. And I think that stands in the personal Christian life for some of the things I've been mentioning. I'm going to ask you, do you think you've got any of those things in that list? Because that's something you need to overcome. You need to be set free from. And God wants to set you free. 1848, the 20th of March, on the Canadian border. Do you know what happened? It involved 500,000 litres of water. Do you know what it was? Again, read it? Amazed? Yes, Niagara Falls stopped to a trickle on the 20th of March, 1848. If you'd have been on the bank, what's happened? It was a mere trickle. And you know why? Further up where the rivers begin to drain into all those tributaries and streams that go into the river that goes over the top, they've been clogged up with ice. So much so, they were tight. and the water couldn't get through, and it dried up one day, and then it was freed and back to the water going over the Niagara Falls. And I thought about it. Ice, coldness of heart can actually be like a dam in our hearts, like a stronghold. And God wants to free it. Okay? The second thing, I've actually done things the opposite way around, because I always like to save the best till last. All right? From verse 13 of chapter 5, I want you to notice the tremendous encouragement that Joshua had from God. What did Joshua do in verse 13? He went on a recce, a reconnaissance. In the D-Day landings, that was the other thing. In the D-Day landings, I heard they sent out over 3,200 recces to survey the Normandy area. 3,200 just for that one big day. All right? And Joshua did a recce. He went to have a look at the city of Jericho. Pretty good as a captain. Why? He had a human strategy. When I see it, I'll be able to work something out. And as he was doing that, what happened? Verse 13. It says he suddenly was confronted with a guy who looked like a soldier. And it looked like he was going to fight Joshua. And what did Joshua say?
Are you one of our soldiers or an enemy?
And how did he reply? Neither. But as, well, it depends on what version you have. But as the commander of the Lord's army, I have now come. And what did Joshua do? He bowed down. He bowed down. He's the leader of Israel. And he bows down to this guy he sees for the first time. Now that doesn't it challenges me. Firstly, he saw something different about this guy. He says he fell, depending on the version, prostrate like this on the floor before this guy in reverence to who he was. And then he says to him, what message does my Lord have for this servant? What message have he got for me? Yes. He did a Moses. Moses and others. And God said to him, take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy. He did it before Moses. He did it for Abraham. Right? He did it for Abraham. And he did it for Jacob. I said Moses, yes, but he did it for the mother of Samson and Job. And I thought, wow, he got a glimpse of God. These are actually called, in theology, theophanies. Theo meaning God, Theonese meaning appearances. So they're God appearances. And really, these theophanies found in the Old Testament are said to be, this is the second person of the Trinity, the Godhead, Jesus in human form. And he turned up right in front of Joshua, right in front of Moses, right in front of Abraham and Jacob and Job and Samson's mum. And they recognized him. That's why he dropped on his knees. And I thought, wow, that's what we need. That's what we need when we want to take our strongholds. We need an encounter with God. We need an encounter with God. What's the first thing you would do if you met with God? You know, you can meet with God. You can have an encounter with God like that. Don't just need to read it in the Old Testament or even in the New. We can have an encounter, a sense of the presence of God. Now, what does this theophany mean? I believe it's three things. We'll get the two, but it's the third one I think's the most important. The first one is, well, I would be so encouraged. God's on my side. All right. The second thing was God gave him instructions. And we can read about that, how to go round the Jericho. All right. But the third thing, and it's what Joshua did. I am not independent of God. I'm completely dependent on God. I'm not going to do it. God says, you're not going to do it. I'm going to do it for you. I've got this army. It's not your army I'm talking about. It's my army. And we're going to take Jericho. And I think what he wanted Joshua to do, he wanted Joshua to realize, Joshua, surrender yourself before me. Submit yourself before me. And that's what Joshua did. That's what I love about Joshua. He gets it right. Before God. And I long for us all to get it right when we're overcoming our strongholds before God. Because God can break these strongholds. Finally, what about your strongholds today? Now, this is where this bit comes in. This is the closing bit, okay? Boombox, because I forgot the word. Cereal bowl. Empty glass. Anyone any ideas? What's in that glass? Air. Fresh air. How do we get that air out? Put something else in. What can I put in? Water. Right. Now, I've not done this at home. And this is a electrical box. It's Daniel's. And we're going to pour it in. What do you think? Is it going to overflow here? I just want to force out the air. Okay. Just getting a bit thirsty. It's over the top. We've got rid of the air by putting something else in. What about the sin in our lives? What about the strongholds that need breaking? How does that link in with that? Does it link in with it? What's going to happen to your heart? Jesus actually said it in one of the Gospels. Just one. You sweep a heart clean, who's going to come back? That's right. Yes, it's going to be seven times worse. So we got to, if we want to empty, we got an empty heart before God. What does God say? Now I want you to fill it. What do we fill it with? The Holy Spirit. Why so often in the Bible do we see the Holy Spirit like John 4, living water? God wants to fill our hearts with living water. That's how we deal with the strongholds. That's how we deal with the sin. We, in a sense, we confess it, and then we fill it with the Holy Spirit. If we don't, seven times worse. Okay? I want to just close. It's a story of a mum and a little girl. And mum and the little girl were downstairs. And the little girl did something that she said felt very embarrassed about. And a mum tried to comfort her, but she got so embarrassed, and then it went to anger. And she went upstairs into a room. And she was so angry, she got a pair of scissors, and I read she cut her mum's new dress up. So it was in threads. Now, some of you are smiling at each other. You know, did you do that? And that's what she did. And mum went upstairs. And she went into her bedroom. And there was this new dress. All cut to shreds. And she just threw herself on the bed. And she started weeping about it. And weeping about it. In the end, the daughter came in to her mum's bedroom. And she said, Mum, don't cry. Don't cry, I didn't mean to do it. And mum ignored her. She's so caught up with this dress being cut up and everything. And in the end, the little girl says, take me back again, mum. And that's what mum did. She saw how much she'd hurt mum. And I think that's with sin and strongholds. You think they hurt you. I think they hurt me. They hurt God. When we won't let go of those things that nailed Jesus to the cross. And that's all part of breaking strongholds and breaking chains. Will you hang on to it? Because you so love doing it. It's only when we see the pain that it caused our Jesus. Not an easy message, is it? But I believe God's here. And he's a loving God. And he just receives. Ask. Amazing. Ask. We sang it, and you shall receive. Seek, and you'll find. Knock, and the door will be open. And the lovely thing about it, everyone who does that, who asks, receives. And everyone who seeks finds that peace. And everyone who knocks, the door opens. That's so encompassing. And that's what I want to bring to you this morning. And I want to challenge you about the list. The nine with the composite examples of sin. Are any of those things going on in your life a stronghold? You bring them before God. He's the one who breaks them. I came to set the prisoners free. God's here this morning. And I want us just to have a minute or two. Well, quietly, you come before God. You know yours. We've all got a stronghold. Or more in our lives. You bring it before God. The truth sets you free. Heavenly Father, I do thank you that when we come before you like this, in the quietness, you and I together, Lord, I can be real with you. I can allow you to come and work mightily in my life. We can all do that. Lord Jesus, I want your mightiness to be manifest in our lives. From this time onwards, Lord, we may need to revisit here in the future. But I believe, Lord, this is your time for these things and what you reveal, Lord, to us about our lives. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And one person this morning actually just said, it says, it's 1 John 4:4, the spirit that is in you is greater than the spirit that's in the world. Holy Spirit, come and flood into our lives. Flood our lives. Fill the space. Take over. Dramatically. Thank you for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord, for being here, Holy Spirit. Yes, have your way amongst us. And let us not allow Satan to snatch this decision, this transaction that we've done with you today. He'll try. He'll try and snatch it away from us. And Lord, we're going to stand firm on this promise, this truth. We give you glory. Jesus, our Saviour and Lord and Commander. Bless you. Amen.